OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties. One county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that gold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now, for Munster fans watching Super Rugby New Zealand at the moment, there's a familiar face in the Hurricanes coaching box. Hopefully we can go live now to Jason Holland in Wellington. Hi, Jason. How are things?
G'day. Very good. Thank you.
Ah, great. Good to have you with us. Head coach these days at the Hurricanes. So are you in the office already? It's early Thursday morning in your world.
Yeah, mate. We're jumping here in the dark in the freezing cold of Wellington at the moment in the middle of winter. But no, it's all good. The boys will be in shortly and we're all kicking on and ready to get into Sunday.
New Zealand in many ways have been the COVID success story of the world, and you're back up and in action in such a real way with fans watching so quickly. Give us a sense, there must be almost a, euphoria, that's a bit strong, but certainly a degree of self-satisfaction with how the country has come through this and gotten back to some kind of normality so quickly.
Yeah, it's right. I suppose when we first went into lockdown, she was a bit of a surprise and took some getting used to, but you know, we're all pretty grateful of how the government approached it from day one, and you know, we sucked it up for a bit of lockdown for a month, but you know, it's been a great outcome, and the country's done pretty well around it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a privilege to be back into a bit of a normality and then being able to play some footy.
Belated congrats on the new role. John Plumtree has joined the New Zealand setup, and you were offered the top job. You were obviously working as part of his team. Any hesitation? In some respects, it might be hard. How do you know when you're ready for a top job?
Look, I don't know if you ever really do, but I suppose over the last couple of years working with Plum, he's big on, you know, making sure, you know, you share a bit of responsibility around the whole environment, really. So it wasn't too much of a difference. I suppose the main difference for me is that, you know, I may have to step away a little bit from the on-field stuff and hand over the reins there around the attack, which has sort of been the biggest challenge, I suppose, is to making sure that you want to be on the field with the boys at times, but you may have to deal with the CEOs and the boards at that at times as well. But look, we're working through and finding a really good balance of that, and starting to really enjoy the job.
So are you a much busier man now than you were when you're looking after, say, just the attack, for instance?
I'm probably not busier. I'm just, my energy is probably a bit more spread away from the footy field. But yeah, look, she's a pretty... It was a privilege to be in this job, and we're just desperate for a W in the weekend, to be honest.
Yes, so thus far, two games, no wins from two. The Chiefs are the same after no wins from three. You play each other on Sunday, so someone's going to be feeling pretty rotten come Sunday evening, one way or another.
Yeah, probably. It's a good battle because it's to make the comp's pretty special. You know, there's no. You know, knockoff weekends. You haven't got the Sunwolves coming up, so you can rotate a few boys. She's pretty brutal from week to week, which is exciting to be involved in. So, yeah, Chiefs are a good side. Our boys are pretty good mates with a lot of the boys as well. And you know, we're only two games in, so if we can get a win here, we're right back in the hunt, and be good to get a couple of wins and then have another crack at the Blues and the Crusaders, and who knows what can happen.
Because quite often, looking in from afar across a Super Rugby season, the best games are always when the New Zealand franchises play each other. You know, those derbies are brilliant. So, like you said, I think you put it in more polite terms than I might, but there's no deadwood there. There are no easy games. You're up against it every week. It kind of makes for an amazingly exciting 10-week tournament for the rest of us. Pretty intense for you.
Yeah, that's how you want it, though, I suppose, mate. If it's not hard, it's not as good when you win it. So, look, we're... Yeah, we have to be smarter around how we use this, because as I say, the physicality is pretty full on and we need to be able to not roll out the same 15, the same 23 every week. But we'll work through that. And as I say, you get one W and everything, but your foot was broken, it's all fixed again and away you go. So boys are working pretty hard and just praying for a bit of weather this weekend. A bit different playing a bit later. Obviously, if you're playing a bit later, it's like playing in January and in Middleton, to be honest, at the moment in some of our fields. So it's a little bit different. You got to tweak your footy a little bit, but it's great. It's great to be involved in.
I had a glance at some of the press conferences after the first two initial games. I mean, New Zealand journalists, they put it to you straight. You know, that was a shocker. What happened there, kind of a thing. How have you found doing that extra side of things on the media front?
I suppose that was one thing that Plum sort of shared around when he was head coach. He made sure that, mate, I was up against the media a lot in the last couple of years. But I'm like, media doesn't really stress me. But we know what we've got to do, and I know the media got a job to do. So that's all good. That's all good. It goes with the flow, and when you're winning, it's a lot easier. But mate, it's all good.
Jason, how does it work in terms of players moving around the franchises? Like, obviously, we've seen Dan Carter pitch up in an unexpected spot, and Beauden Barrett was at the Hurricanes and has moved on. Who dictates those moves? Is it like centrally? You know, does Beauden Barrett discuss that centrally with the union? Does he operate for himself with his own agent and engineer a move? How does it work over in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's a good question. the Bodie one is interesting in that, you know, obviously his wife's family's in Auckland, and basically he goes through the agents. But New Zealand Rugby, all the players that play Super Footy are centrally contracted by New Zealand Rugby. Mm. So that as long as the Beauden Barretts of this world are playing in New Zealand, New Zealand Rugby are happy. So then it becomes a bit of a, you know, a war between the franchises in Bodie's case. And and sometimes there's a bit of where people want to be and where their families are be. And sometimes it can be financial, and you know, some of the franchises are a small bit better off around the cash side of things. So maybe we've got to sell our environment. We've got to make sure the boys are really happy to be in their environment and playing, and give them the best opportunity to be as good as they can be and push on to be in the black jersey. So yeah, she's a little bit niggly at times. There's always something going on about this time of year when you're halfway through a season, and people are negotiating things for the following year. But mate, it's part of the game. And as I say, for me, the biggest seller can be, you know, the style of footy you play, the environment you create, the fun the boys are having. So a lot of time, that's what we push on the boys that tend to hang around.
Yeah. So it's a few years now since you were at Munster. Time is getting by. I have a clip from about 20 years ago and a month, maybe. So this was a game you'll remember well. It's the famous win over Toulouse in the heat. Think of that sunshine now, Jason, against Toulouse in Bordeaux. 31-25, three tries that day. John Hayes, Ron O'Gara, and you popped up with one yourself. We'll play you the clip. Have a listen.
And Munster have cut the line again in order to possibly stifle any attacking move and make more defenders available in midfield. Yes! And away goes Jason Holland, and he's going to get another 7 points for Munster! Unbelievable! He has scored four tries for Munster now, and that is unreal! Superb stuff, and the Munster support, and everybody supporting Munster, are all over the place here in Stadler's Gore, and the people behind the stand where the try was scored are stunned.
Well, things are going desperately wrong. The set move, Jason Holland on the fingertips, and what a moment for a player who had to suffer the disappointment of missing the Stade Francais game because of a family bereavement to come back to a place like Bordeaux against a side like Toulouse and register a try like that. Fantastic.
Jim Sherwin and Ralph Keyes on commentary there. Before we give you a big head, by the way, Peter O'Reilly in the Sunday Times over here had a quote from Alan Quinlan about that try. And Quinny said, "We used to crucify Dutchie." That was your nickname. They're a witty bunch down in Munster, of course, Jason Holland. We used to crucify Dutchie over how long it took him to run those 30 metres. He was a bit of a short arse. No pace. It looked like there was quicksand at the end of that pitch.
Yeah, mate. When that came up, I knew there'd be people around Cork and Middleton and all around Munster, to be honest, wondering if the 20 years is long enough for me to get to the goal line, to be honest. So they enjoy that sort of banter. There's the Hayes try earlier. It took him about the same amount of time to get off the ground to score that try. So, yeah, look, I've taken a lot of slagging around that. Sometimes that pops up when the boys over here are a bit bored and they need to take the piss out of someone. They'll throw something like that up and she's in slow-mo. So, mate, they're awesome times, and it's good to have the banter about them all this time after it. But, mate, they're still some of the best moments of my footy career. You know that the atmosphere in Bordeaux that day was unbelievable. You look back at the miracle match, and, you know, some of those days are probably, you know, the special ones in my career, to be honest.
It was a very special time, I would suspect, to be around Munster. I know you came to Ireland kind of late 90s, 98, 99 territory, played Middleton and then got involved with Munster. And I mean, the names on that team have endured, you know, and big characters, and you've Anthony Foley and you've Clossy and you've Keith Woodford. That's each season in 2000 and Mick Galway. And then, you know, the new batch come through and you stay on as a coach for OA. You've got the O'Connells and the O'Garas, and these are just big names. And it was such an odyssey, Munster's European campaign at that stage, year in, year out, going so close. You played in two of those Heineken Cup finals. As a Kiwi pitching into that environment, did you feel at home pretty quickly? You obviously enjoyed it. You stuck around long enough.
Yeah, stuck around. It was good fun, that's why. It was a bit of a mission when you first get called in by Dickie, rocking up to, you know, we were split there. We were training in Cork and Limerick boys training in Limerick, and rock into the gym and all the Cork Con Mafia were there. all those boys, all the Rogers and Frankies and Hoggies and all those boys. But I suppose when you get in, you work hard and you have a bit of fun and play some footy and you gel pretty quickly. And I think something that I take out of all those years is it's pretty important that, you know, you're good mates and you have a bit of fun around along the way. And we definitely did that, probably a little bit too much at times. But it was awesome to be part of that. And still, you know, you still catch up with all those boys around the place. You bump into them around the world every now and then, and it's pretty awesome.
You were part of the coaching setup, as I mentioned, in 08, backs coach. That 08 team in particular, I mean, it's probably true of Munster right the way through, but underrated back play. You know, you think of some of the tries they scored. A couple of times that season they went the length of the pitch. There was the Gloucester quarter final. There was a brilliant try that day and numerous others. So Alan Quinlan, when he was talking about how slow you were, he also did add a compliment at the end. He said the thing was Jason had the smarts to see the intercept before anyone else. So the implication is you used your brain that bit more. Were you always intent on becoming a coach? When did you decide you might go down that avenue?
I suppose I've always been really interested in what goes on in the game and you know, how defences are operating, I suppose. I've never really had too much interest in being anything around D, but I'm always really interested in how different teams defend and how teams score tries and how they get line breaks. So I suppose that was always the case. Yeah. I always thought we'd try to play a bit and you know, create some opportunities, not just the nine-man footy, although times that you'd have one crack off a scrum and one of the 13 or a winger or something would drop the ball and then Quinny and Axel would tell you that you're not getting it for the rest of the game. But we worked through that. But, you know, it's you know, I've always, mate, I grew up with footy and it's always been a massive passion. So, mate, it's a bit of a privilege to be excited about going to work every day, I suppose.
Mm. What was life like off the pitch in your time at Munster? Middleton was home, was it, in Cork?
Yep, no, like Middleton looked after me awesome. I got over there, I was told this story a couple of times, and busted my thumb, and they looked after me and didn't know if I was going to be any good to them, and they looked after me big time. So just, it was a great place, great people. We know, still stay connected and can't wait to get back and visit a lot of those people shortly, so when we can, hopefully. So, yeah, Middleton was good to me and, you know, set us up, and we went for 6 or 9 months and ended up there for 13 or 14 years, which says a lot about the place around Middleton and about Munster in general and the country, really.
Kids born there as well, I think.
Yeah. A couple of little Irish girls who came back with a little Irish accents for a while, but, you know, talking a bit more cuzzy bro now, but, you know, they're good and they're desperate to come back. We're supposed to be flying today, actually. Girls were flying to Ireland today before COVID hit. It was their trip they'd be looking forward to. So that's on hold. So we'll see what happens with that in the next, as soon as these borders get open.
Sometimes we talk to Ronan O'Gara, who I'm sure you keep in touch with, and you've you've been in similar circles, obviously, and he would talk about one of the more demanding aspects of being a coach is deciding on moving your family around again, you know, and weighing up the pros and the cons and the guilt, actually, he would talk about. So you've obviously had a bit of that, and you've moved around even over in New Zealand since you've gone home. What's that side of being a coach like? You're still a young man, you have a young family. You don't want to mess your kids' childhoods up too much without being extreme about it.
That's right. You've got to have a pretty supportive crew. Having a rugby wife is pretty important, even if she's not a rugby wife when you meet her. Getting her to understand the way we operate is important. But, yeah, we sort of got to the stage where the girls were getting to Wellington and they're into their high school and pretty keen to stay here and get them all through school. Mm. Bit tougher for Raj with his tribe, you know, he's with his five or six, and Jess is a champion for him. So, yeah, it's always, you've got to take it into consideration, but, mate, you can't do it without their support, really.
Yeah. What's the aim for you? I guess make a success of things in Hurricane. Stay as long as possible. I mean, as a head coach, the one certainty in life is you probably will get, well, I was going to say get fired eventually, but I mean, that's the brutal truth. Get fired or things will go very well.
Yeah, look, it's... I'm a believer you can't look too far ahead. So it's got to nail stuff in front of you at the moment. You know, as I said, getting girls through school is pretty important to us. But, you know, I'd always thought we'd love to get back that side of the world at some stage for a couple of years anyway. So, look, I keep my focus pretty narrow around what's happening this week and what's happening next month or so. But you just want to do the best you can and make sure you've got good relationships and people to respect you wherever you are. And we'll see what happens. And never want to rule out anything in this life, especially when you see what's happened over the last couple of months and things can be thrown up in the air just like that.
Yeah, the future makes fools of us all. How is a Hurricanes dressing room now different to, say, a Munster dressing room? Not even necessarily 2000 when we were still coming out of amateurism, but even, say, 08 when you're on the coaching ticket 12, 13 years ago and it's a predominantly Irish dressing room. How does the Hurricanes atmosphere or the values compare?
A big difference is probably the music these days. The music in the change rooms over here is, maybe it's I'm 10 years older that I can't get it, but music over here is pretty poosh, to be honest. The main thing is that, you know, they're really similar around the boys want to play footy. They want to have a good time and they want to be hanging out with each other, which is something that I want to drive and continue. You know, some of the results we got at Munster when I was there as a player and as a coach were driven by the environment, driven by the fact that the boys wanted to be there and were desperate to play for themselves and I suppose definitely for the community and the fans. And that's no different here. I suppose the fan engagement is probably not quite as strong over here as it is over there, which is something that I miss a little bit. There's still got great element and great fans over here that connect with the players, but she's nothing like what we had in Munster. Yeah. But I suppose the dressing room is all the same. We have our key leaders and we have the same, you know, you're trying to grow people along the way, you're trying to grow the boys in to be the next set of leaders. But along the way, you know, a bit of hard work and a bit of fun, that's probably two of the key things that you can never really go away from. So, you know, I probably get a bit more grief in a Munster change room with the banter, with the quinnies and the boys taking the mickey out of you. But generally, you know, some of the same fundamentals are massive and really important to be a successful team.
And Jason, when you say you want your team to play a bit of footy, so I'm pretty sure I know what that means, but if I'm sitting down, say, to watch the game this week, weather permitting, how do you want the Hurricanes to play? What are your key hallmarks for a team to play the way you see the game?
I suppose I want to give them, in a nutshell, I want to give them the option to attack anywhere on the field at any time. So I'm talking width here probably, as in if the defence wants to fill the field, we want to be direct through them. And when they narrow up, we want to have the ability to go around them within our structures. So a big part of the game at the moment is, you know, choosing whether to run or whether to kick with the attacking kicks. So we work hard at trying to give the boys the ability to attack anywhere, give them the options, and then just say, go out there and make some decisions. So I suppose that comes back to how I was as a player. I would have hated to go in too set on what I was expected to do. So I just like the idea of giving the boys an idea of where they are on the field and then just saying, go and make some decisions based on what you see. Yeah. And sometimes as a coach, you battle with that. You think, shit, that's a shit decision. And but I suppose that's part of, you know, trying to give the boys a bit of ownership and make sure, you know, we review those decisions. But I suppose that's what it means, making good decisions and understanding what you're looking for to make those decisions so that you can have a bit of fun.
So in many ways, it sounds like defence can dictate the terms. You know, if they're rushing up, if they're spreading wide, if they're not spreading wide, then that you've got to react to that effect as opposed to attack to deciding things.
Yeah, definitely. And there's obviously other ways where you can try and manipulate the D by, you know, setting things up. And hopefully you see us set the Chiefs up in the weekend with a couple of our set plays for lineouts. But those sorts of things, you know, the game changes and you can plan all you want during the week. But, you know, if everything's really coach-led throughout the week, when there's a different picture on the field in the weekend, you know, the boys need to have the tools to be able to nail that. So, you know, it's a big part of setting up our week. We sort of try and be really coach-led the first half of the week and then try and hand over for the back end of the week that the players run a lot of what we do so that we've hopefully implemented all the tools for them in the front half of the week and they can just go and do their thing in the back end. And that's sort of the basis and how I like to operate our weeks.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It does chime in with how a lot of coaches are talking right now, and I suspect it's a difficult thing to do because you'd love to be a control freak and to do everything possible Monday to Friday to make things work at the weekend, but it's counterproductive.
Yeah, 100%. You know, some of us, and you know, I know that CJ, Corey Jane and Carlos, lately they've been like, should they love to be out there and making those decisions, and we've got to sort of wind it back and just keep remembering that we're not going to be on the park as much as we'd love to be. So it's a big part of the game, I reckon, a big part of coaching is helping the boys understand what are the possible scenarios that they're going to get and then just back themselves and go make those decisions.
Well, Jason, listen, we'll let you go. You've got obviously a busy day, I suspect, ahead of a huge weekend. We'll be keeping an eye out for that game against the Chiefs on Sunday. Hopefully it goes well. One win out of three sounds a hell of a lot better than 0-3.
Yeah, mate, we'll be 6 out of 8. We'll sound good too at the end of the year, right?
Good stuff. Well, listen, warm greetings from Ireland. Thanks a million.
Awesome, Matt. Nice to talk to you. Thanks,
likewise,
guys.
Likewise. Jason Holland there, a former Munster player, now head coach at the Hurricanes over in Wellington.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.